Hello and happy Monday, everyone. Thank you so much for joining me, Jess Nelson, for another episode of My Cancer Story podcast. Today, you're going to meet Isabel Bart. She is a breast cancer survivor and also a holistic life coach. She shares her story, which is a fairly new story, with a cancer diagnosis during the pandemic, and then all the beautiful things that came from it, becoming a life coach and following her passion and following things that she loves to do with her life. So without further ado, please enjoy this episode. So great. Isabel, thank you so much for being here and joining me on my Cancer Story podcast. Today, everyone, we have Isabel Bart. She is a breast cancer survivor and also a holistic life coach. Oddly enough, she is not very far from me here in Southern California. She's in Orange County. I'm in the Long Beach area, which is so funny that we're chatting on Zoom. But I would like to welcome Isabel to the podcast. And Isabel, I'll just have you kind of start off with talking about your breast cancer diagnosis and then the journey you went through, and then we'll just kind of go from there.
Thank you so much for having me, Jess. I really appreciate it. And I'm glad I can share my story. So actually just almost exactly a year ago from today, I went for my third routine mammogram. So I was 41 at the time. And always actually joking with my doctor that my breast being so small, there couldn't be anything too bad in there. After the mammogram, I got a call asking me to come back because something was seen on this mammogram and they wanted to do it. I went, for an ultrasound and said, you know, in this case, I need to do a biopsy. And, you know, already the idea of undergoing a biopsy, you know, was a little scary. And I think from the moment they called me about my mammogram, I think inside of me, I just felt like that was it, just because I was like, what else could it be? And I don't know, it was just so, so strange. So I was prepared, you know, for the worst in some ways. And indeed, the biopsy turned out to be positive. I remember the doctor telling me, well, the good news and the bad news. The bad news, it's, you know, cancer. The good news is that it's very small and non-aggressive. And it's also the most common, you know, form of breast cancer, because there are a lot of different breast cancers, maybe 15 or so. So I was literally, you know, my cancer was textbook. So, you know, I don't know if you know that, but the left side is actually a little bit more common than the right side.
Really? So,
it happened on the left, and it happened on the upper outer quadrant of the breast, which is also the most common place.
So like in the armpit area?
Exactly. Kind of? So yeah, like towards your armpit and the top, which is also a little bit better from a surgery standpoint as far as, you know, the way it looks. When I got the diagnosis, I really focused on facts. First of all, I was trying, you know, the word cancer, I think, as you know, is scary to hear, but I was really trying to focus on the fact that, you know, the positive news was it didn't look like it spread and it was very small. And so like, okay, you know, maybe in a way it's kind of like having a bad mole on your skin that you need to remove, you know, or something, except, it, you know, it's inside my body, but it wasn't too scary. But what happened then is, and I appreciate, you know, the radiology office, they wanted to do really check everything. So I went back for an MRI, and then actually they found a couple of other suspicious spots. Oh, no. So I did another biopsy, another ultrasound. But hey, you know, I was like, hey, the good news is they've seen everything that was to be seen in my breast. So at least, you know, and indeed, they found another extremely small tumor near the first one. But what was great is because they found it through the MRI, when I had surgery, they were able to remove both. And then, you know, my margins were clear, which is, you know, it looked like there was nothing else there. So, you know, after, I think, you know, what was the most scary in a way was that, and you may have gone through the same thing yourself, but it's for 2 or 3 weeks after my diagnosis, I felt again good about the breast cancer because I knew what was going on. But every other little ache I would feel in my body, I wondered if I have something else, right? So I was like, you know, it would be so bad if, hey, breast cancer was figured out and I got to remove it. But what if I have ovarian cancer or pancreas cancer? You know, like you go through this thing and then, you know, every little lump I feel on me, suddenly I have some new cancer, right? I think that was the piece at that time that was very difficult. Because, you know, in a way I'm like, you know, am I really the fortunate one who got diagnosed so early and going to be okay? Or is there something else going on?
Is it like Pandora's box? Like we just open up and everything unleashes. That's, I'm the same way. Like every time, like I have trouble swallowing, I was like, oh my God, did like it grow back? Or, you know, like my foot hurts or something like that. I'm just like, oh my God, what if it's something else? And it's just kind of like that. It's really kind of stressful. Like post-traumatic stress, you know?
And I think, you know, again, for me, it was that experience of the shock of the diagnosis, right? Yeah. Because I didn't go in thinking I have a lump or, you know, there's something going on. I literally walked in. I almost did not go to my mammogram because that was the week that everybody was sent home because of COVID. And I thought, so well, that's... I still should do it, you know?
Yeah. But yeah, it's legit this week last year. Wow.
Exactly.
Oh,
yeah.
God. Yeah.
So, you know, I never thought, you know, anything could come out of it. I was like, oh, it's just, I'm doing my due diligence. I'm doing my regular checkups. And again, you know, having no symptom, it happened before in another situation in my life where it's like, you know, you totally feel like, you know, there is no reason to worry or there's nothing. And boom, something happens. I think that's the other piece that was very unsettling for me. Mm-hmm. Is, and again, kind of, you know, getting me to think about what else can be wrong and I don't know it.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah. That's like kind of like the big what if, and you know, whether or not you have a completely survivable and non-life-threatening cancer, or if you have a really aggressive life-threatening cancer, you're, no matter what, like you get past it, you're always going to wonder no matter what, like going on. And I do have a question about like doing your mammograms. why did you start doing the mammograms? You said that was like your third annual one. Like did your mother or your grandmother have cancer as well? Okay.
Not at all. So the reason why, and I'm very thankful too. When I was 39, my OB doctor told me when she was, you know, checking me, she said that my breast was very dense. And so that she would not feel like she can, it was hard for her to feel anything. And so she said, you know, usually mammograms actually start at 40. And I would encourage any listener here over 40, please do it, because I mean, I don't want to be dramatic, but really there is a reason for, you know, for doing that. So she said, let's get you started already, because then we'll have a good baseline, you know, good imaging. And then over the years we can compare. So if the doctor sees anything off, you know, we'll catch it early, which is exactly what happened.
Yeah.
But again, I was really joking with her because I was like, what do you mean you can feel anything? I was like, well, there is no big lump anywhere because my breast is, like I said, is very small. So, but again, you know, I was not naive, but I just really never thought in a million years, you know, with the way, you know, I'm very physically healthy. I have a really good labs. You know, I pay a lot of attention to what I eat. I exercise a lot. I'm super active. You know, you're thinking I'm doing all the right things. So this is not going to happen to me anyway.
Yeah. But, no, it's funny. Like, it's just like getting that the crap end of the stick. Like for you who eats healthy, who's taking care of your body, you're very in tune with your body, and you get a cancer diagnosis, and then you kind of just, I know we don't know other people's lives like from the inside out, but like looking at other people who like eat like crap, they don't work out, they eat processed foods, fast foods and all that stuff. And then they're just fine. No problem whatsoever. I struggled with that as well.
I do. And, you know, and I'm ashamed of admitting it, honestly, but for like 2 minutes after I got diagnosed, I did have thoughts about, you know, colleagues or, you know, other women around me, and that kind of almost jealousy of saying, yeah, why me and not them? Because look, they don't pay attention to their health. And, you know, then I really thought, okay, no, Yeah. My heart is, that's not from my heart, right?
Yeah.
But it was kind of that, yeah, that feeling I had to have at some point go through me, because like you said, you know, you try to do the right thing, you try to, you know, but again, you know, nothing is guaranteed, you know?
Mm, exactly. Exactly. It's just, it's the luck, quote unquote, the luck of the draw. And it's hard not to go there, but like the fact that you're able to check yourself and reel it back in and be like, no, this isn't me, you know, this is just my story now. So going through like as far as treatment, you had surgery. So the lumpectomy, did you have to do any sort of other treatments like chemo, radiation, or anything like that?
Yeah. So again, the good news, because I was stage one, was that I didn't have to do chemo.
Okay.
I think that would have been, again, another, you know, level of, you know, on the journey. But mm-hmm. The protocol was, so remove the tumor and then do radiation, and also take medication probably for about 5 years, medication that has been proven to, you know, reduce the risk of recurrence. Mm-hmm. That was the part that I was kind of, I'm not a big drug fan at all.
Yeah.
So I was kind of like not super excited about that part. But the surgery was also an interesting decision to make, because, you know, my doctors clearly explained that because I had this too little tumor, she would still need to do two lumpectomies, actually. Mm. And, you know, you remove about a golf ball size. So she says, again, you know, well, we'll remove this. You may have a little bit of a cosmetic, you know, you may notice it a little bit, but it shouldn't be that bad.
Hmm.
Now, the big concern was if, so after lumpectomy, they analyze the tissue that's removed and they want to make sure the margins on the outside are clear, right? Because if they're still cancerous cells, they're like, oh, there's more there. Mm-hmm. And they will have to operate again. Actually, I have a good friend who had two lumpectomies because of that.
Oh,
but in my case, the doctor said, your breast is too small. So if after surgery, your margins are not clear, we're probably going to have to do a mastectomy.
Oh, wow.
But I'm glad I made the decision I made, because so the good news is, you know, when I got a call a week after surgery saying it's clear and we're done with surgery, I was super happy. And cosmetically, you cannot tell when you look at my breast that the surgeon did an amazing job. But when I first met with her, you know, I was totally thinking, yeah, lumpectomy, you know, radiation, that's the protocol. Mm-hmm. She was actually really pushing me to consider both lumpectomy or mastectomy.
Oh.
Now being, you know, and the doctors are, you know, really a great team. Usually they work all together. So I had the chance to meet the radiation doctor, the plastic surgeon, in case I wanted to do mastectomy, and understand, you know, what it would mean like to have an implant. And with the benefit of mastectomy is that you don't need to do radiation and don't always need to take the medication either. Your risk of recurrence is slightly lower, but it's not inexistent.
Okay.
But for me, at my age, being so active, having an implant was kind of a concern. And, you know, the maybe loss of feeling with the nerves and everything. Mm-hmm. So I made the decision to go with lumpectomy, and I'm actually really happy I made that decision.
Yeah.
And after that, so about 2 months after the surgery was done, when I had some chance to heal a little bit, I underwent radiation for 6 weeks. So every day, Monday to Friday, you know, it's very quick. It's like a beaming laser. I was, again, very fortunate, maybe because of my age and my physical condition, that I had absolutely no side effects. My skin was hardly burned. Actually, I went to the beach, you know, it was over the summer. I got a sunburn on my thighs and it was much worse than the rest. You know, so I was taking good care of my skin. I had some redness, nothing serious. Mm-hmm. You know, unfortunately, some women have stronger reactions to it, but it was really easy. So from a treatment standpoint, it was really not that heavy and, you know, didn't cause a lot of issues for me. Mm-hmm. Again, I think it's back to what I was saying earlier, which is, hey, it's no fun to have cancer at 40, but the earlier you catch it, the easier it's going to be to treat it.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and my oncologist, you know, kept telling me that, you know, he's seen women, you know, over the years in my case, you know, and they never had any cancer again, you know, in their lifetime. So I tried to see the positive side of it, but
yeah,
for sure, cancer at 40 wasn't in my life plan at first.
Yeah. Oh man. So, with the diagnosis, basically a year ago and going through surgery and all your treatment, what was it like, during a pandemic, going in and having surgery and doing all your treatments? How did it affect you? How did it affect your family? Was it tough going in alone? I imagine it's probably really isolating to have to go in and do all these things alone.
In some ways, it was a little, scary. And at the same time, I kind of think even without the pandemic, I would have still done it alone. The team, the nurses, the staff, everybody was extremely supportive. But what happened is, actually, after my diagnosis, I started talking to the surgeon. Mm-hmm. Hospitals were closed because of COVID for procedures that were not, life-threatening or anything. Yeah. So it was early April that I got diagnosed, and the surgeon says to me, right now, the best, date we have to operate is June 23rd.
Oh my God, that's my birthday.
which, by the way, I did not have it happen much earlier, but so yeah. I was like, okay. And she says, but in your case, it's so slow that, waiting 2 months, your cancer is not going to evolve in 2 months. I was like, well, that's another good news, right? Like,
yeah.
It's so, wow. Too slow. So she said, but as soon as we hear differently, we'll book you earlier again. Mm-hmm. And the week after, the governor decided to start reopening some, hospitals. And mm-hmm. so they gave me a call. They said, okay, we're getting you slotted for May 7th. So like 2 weeks later, I was scheduled. In the pandemic was the best time for me to get breast cancer because, first of all, I typically travel to visit my family over the summer back in Europe, and I wasn't going to do that anyway last year. So yeah. I was going to be stuck here in Southern California, which is not that bad. I was like, okay, so that's not going to affect any of my travel plans. Mm-hmm. And I was working from home. So like many people, and I can guarantee you that, even after surgery, a couple of days later, I was back working because I could work from my couch. I could, be reclined if I needed to be reclined or, just be comfortable. Mm-hmm. And that, if I had to go back into an office, I probably would have taken more time off just because, the constraint of, just getting ready in the morning, driving somewhere, that would have been a bigger toll on me than just getting up and, working from the house.
Yeah.
So, I mean, again, I want to say that the pandemic in a way made it easier, I believe, and more comfortable,
Yeah. There's a little silver lining with that, I think that's I like the way you look at it and your attitude towards it. It's instead of being like super upset about the, the card that was dealt to you, you're like, okay, I'm going to find the nice little silver linings and positives about it. So post-treatment, what are next steps for the next few years? I assume it's probably about 5 years before you're considered in remission.
Yes. So, okay. In theory, I'm cancer free. Mm-hmm. The oncologist, again, I kept on pushing about, is there any other thing that's wrong in my body?
Yeah.
I think they hear that a lot.
Oh, I'm sure they do.
But given what I had, they said there is no reason to do further testing or, PET scan or whatever they may do with other people who had more serious cancers. Mm-hmm. But the whole question was the medication. At first, I think I was a little bit nervous about taking medication. Because of some potential side effects, could put you in premenopause or, some hormonal things.
Yeah.
The first month I wasn't sleeping well at all. The doctor encouraged me saying, your body may get used to it. It might get better, but, I ended up reducing my work hours a little bit to be, again, taking care of myself, getting more rest. And after about a month, it seemed much better. So now about 6 months in with the medication, I don't feel like I have a lot of side effects. Some of the, things that they consider common side effects, I'm not really experiencing them that much.
That's good.
So I consider myself lucky there too. And yes, I mean, you know, I still, there's a part of me at times that still feel like maybe I don't want to take that medication, but, you know, it's a little bit like a life insurance because it's been proven, you know, it's been a medication used for years and years and years and proven that it could really reduce any other, you know, potential things that went through your body. Yeah. You know, the other thing that also I think is worth sharing because some listeners may be in that situation is then there is the whole female hormonal situation at the same time, right? Because before I got diagnosed, I had an IUD with hormones, which had to be taken out because my cancer, like many breast cancers, are hormone receptive, as they call them.
Okay.
So you do not want to have progesterone estrogen infused in your body because it could make it worse.
Yeah.
So what happened then is I started having, you know, a cycle that I didn't have for 10 years. And so I think that was the difficult part because I didn't know sometimes if what I felt was just my regular hormonal cycle or the medication, because I hadn't had a regular cycle either for years. So I was trying to say, look, you know, yeah, let's see what happens and let's not overthink it because, you know, on top of the cancer, there was this whole female hormonal issues happening. I mean, so, you know, it was just, it's hard to tell, you know, when a lot of things are happening.
Changing at the same time. Yeah. Yeah. You can't isolate anything over the other. How long do you have to take the medication for the rest of your life or just the next?
In theory, it's 5 years. Okay. I know sometimes they give it to patients for 10, but no, in theory, it's not for, you know, for your whole life or
that's
anything.
Yeah.
And I'm going to talk to my doctor again about it. I think when years ago, it used to be 2 years. Now it's 5 and it sounds like now they have a trend to maybe make it 10. I don't know if it depends on the case, on the cancer. I'm not exactly sure. So I'm going to check with my doctor, but yeah, we'll see. You know, if things remain the way they are today, I probably will keep taking it. I mean, it seems like it's not doing too much to me.
Okay. That's good that it's not. I've spoken with a few other breast cancer survivors, and they've taken medication that basically puts them into like menopause. What is that, like medically induced menopause? How do you want to put it? It's good that you're not having those. I don't know if that's the same type of medication, but not having those side effects. Yeah,
it might be because if you already passed menopause, which is not my case, it may give you another one, and then you know, obviously, you're already in menopause, so that's not an issue.
Yeah.
I think usually for premenopausal women, I think there are two options. One is the one I take. So it might be another one, but it is one of the concerns is the premenopausal thing, you know, and the hot flashes and something. But I think if you have hopefully a good, you know, if you take care of yourself, again, you try to keep, you know, eating well and having a good lifestyle.
Yeah.
Hopefully you can mitigate these symptoms a little bit, but you know, everybody reacts differently, so it's hard to tell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. When touching on eating well and taking care of yourself, you're saying prior to your diagnosis, you know, you're very aware of your body, you ate well, you took care of yourself. How has that changed since your cancer diagnosis and cancer journey? Have you changed anything about your diet or changed anything about even with your business, like the holistic life coaching? Did you do that prior to your...
No, actually.
Oh, this started after. Okay.
It came out during when I was doing radiation over.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, so before, about 2 years before I got diagnosed, I actually, you know, I'm kind of naturally a fairly anxious, stressed person. I'm a little bit of an achiever, you know, that kind of personality type A, a little bit.
Yeah.
And so I actually started doing breathing exercises and meditation. And I practiced, I went to a class, and then I kept practicing. And again, with the pandemic, what was wonderful is I could do it every morning when I first woke up because I didn't have to rush out of the house to work.
Yeah.
So I kept doing this. I still do it today. You know, so every morning, the first thing when I wake up is I do breathing, a quick meditation, and then I do a few core exercises to get my body like feeling good.
Yeah.
I think one of the differences is I've gotten a little bit on the vegetarian, you know, vegan bandwagon.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to be more plant-based in my diet. And that's okay because I never really loved, definitely not red meat and, you know, like maybe poultry a little bit, but you know, and I still eat chicken and turkey, that kind of thing. Yeah. Or duck, because I'm French, but but I really try, really no, usually in a day I would eat no more than one meal with animal-based protein. So really maximum. So I'm trying to be more plant-based. That's probably the biggest change. But I think, you know, from a diet or lifestyle standpoint, I think the other thing is more of a psychological change, really. It's, you know, and a colleague of mine went through a difficult cancer journey about 2 years before me at work. And we, you know, we completely understand each other. And we keep saying, you know, after you go through that experience, you cannot see life in the same way, you know, and you probably feel the same way, which is, you know, I've always thought, oh, I'm going to live probably to, you know, my grandparents live to 95 or something. So, you know, I'm good. I'm going to have a long life. And, you know, this happens. And then, you know, I was not super happy with my job and feeling like I was wasting my time a little bit. And after that, you know, you don't really have that patience anymore. You kind of felt like, hey, I'm going to live my life the way I want to live it. Nobody, you know, because nobody knows it. You know, we may not be here tomorrow. There, you know,
there's no guarantee.
And so, and that's actually why I ended up creating my coaching business, because I've been coaching teams and individuals more in the corporate setting for many years, which is kind of a lot of my background. And I've always liked the human aspect of management. So, you know, my background is also in marketing and I do a lot of marketing, but I really enjoyed working with people, you know, seeing them being empowered, growing. And I realized, you know, that's what fulfills me. So I ended up creating, you know, holistic strategy to do coaching and really feeling like working with clients again and seeing the difference I can make with someone. And it doesn't necessarily take a lot for them or me to create that transformation. It's like the most fulfilling thing I can experience. And, you know, I really got passionate about that. I really wanted to make a difference. I've also always been really involved in volunteering and helping organizations, you know, local area. And I don't know, that's kind of my life mission. You know, I'm here to make a difference for people. I don't have a lot of, you know, self-motivation. I think, you know, we have a duty to make the world a better place and help each other. And that's, you know, and maybe, you know, cancer was my wake up call, as I say. I think somehow, I think the universe decided that they needed to send me a message and it wasn't, you know, too bad of a message, but it was definitely, I saw it as a wake up call to, you know, basically saying, hey, now it's time to follow your intuition, follow the path you've been wanted to follow for many years and just do it, you know, for yourself and others.
Yeah. I definitely had the same aha moment, you know, it's for also having a fairly easy time with cancer, it still changed my outlook. And it really made me address certain things that were going on in my life as well. Like I didn't have to put up with the, you know, a certain job I didn't like, or, you know, certain people in my life that I just kind of kept around. Like it really makes you identify what's most important, and it's you and your health. And, you know, like just coasting through life is just no longer an option. And like you're saying, making the world better, like hopefully trying to make it better, you know, for the next generation or for when you leave. And I think a lot of cancer survivors, feel that way. And everyone that I've interviewed here, it's basically like, I call it the silver lining from cancer. It's like, what did you create from cancer? And so many people are doing incredible things, whether starting a nonprofit, a foundation, like Cancer Box, or I interviewed this one woman, she sends socks to cancer patients, and people are doing these incredible things with, you know, this card that they've been dealt, and they are making the world a better place. And it's like, the cancer community is just so fantastic and so amazing. Everybody's just so open and welcoming. And, you know, like we all want to enrich our own lives as well as those around us. So I just think what you're doing is incredible. And just having that mindset, that positivity to move forward with your life and to help make the world a little bit better, I think is really admirable. I think is really great.
Thank you. Yeah, that was the first thing after I was done with the treatment. I was like, I want to help any other woman going through this because, you know, it's going to be okay. And I know I'm a pretty strong person. So I was like, I don't want anybody to feel desperate or, you know, depressed because they are going through this. There is no reason. And you know, so I really wanted to be that person, you know, helping others to going through that experience and cheering them up.
Yeah, absolutely. It's life is hard enough. And then having to deal with the C word is extra hard, and not everybody has a great support system. So for you to be able to support them is fantastic. So how is that going? Like how is the evolution of the holistic coaching going with holistic strategy?
So it's going really well. You know, I think I really believe what I wanted to do with the coaching is even though I have a very strong, you know, business background, I wanted to coach people really more on their balance overall, because I really feel like, again, I became a successful leader in the corporate world by having that balance, right? And having, you know, not just be performing at my job, but how, you know, could I still have time to exercise and eat well? And so I work really in a customized fashion with my clients because they may have different kind of goals. So, you know, I can help with business, I can help with their life. Usually I try to really use a strategic mindset, which is kind of what I like and what I'm good at, is really, you know, being smart about how you organize your life and, you know, what matters the most and how you can really make a difference, sometimes with little changes to create a bigger transformation. But, you know, I mean, again, you know, looking back over the last year, you know, went through cancer, I actually changed jobs too. I started a whole new, different, exciting, you know, thing back in a couple of months ago. So, you know, it's like, hey, you know, I have a lot of personal experience in going through these kind of transformations. And I want to know you can be how you are. But at the end, really for me, the goal for my clients is feel like you're getting off the hamster wheel, which, you know, I've had that feeling before, you know, when I was a little younger, it's like nonstop, you know, until you crash at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And instead of that, being able to be present, right? Yeah. Enjoy the moment you're going through and really carve out the time to experience, you know, the pleasure, the fun, whatever you like to do, make sure you have that for your life. Because I've seen, you know, a lot of people burnt out.
Yeah.
And the pandemic didn't help, right? A lot of people, you know, got really badly affected by the pandemic. And I'm like, you know, no, how can you do that differently? And, you know, and I use, you know, I've been coached myself because I really believe in that. And I believe in getting different perspectives from people. And, you know, it's always hard to take a step back on your life and seeing what you could change. So having a coach to me is a perfect opportunity to have someone who's here for you on your side and can help you kind of look at things differently.
I think that's great. And I totally agree with you, having someone from the outside looking in a little bit just to give you other different nuggets of advice that you may not have seen. And sometimes it's, you know, it's easier said than done to put yourself first and to do all these things, but to have somebody to help support you to do that, I think is extra helpful. Especially, yeah, with the pandemic, it's mental health has been a concern for a lot of people. Like their home lives could be great, could be terrible. I know my sister really struggled having a 4-year-old during the pandemic and doing classes and teaching with him. So it's just like everybody went through their little struggles, and just to have that little bit of support, I think is so important.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah,
for sure. So that was kind of a little bit of advice. Do you have any other advice for the listeners out there for the cancer side, for work side, for just in general?
No, like, what I tell people, I mean, it sounds a little bit much, but I've said this to people before, it's, you know, don't wait until you get cancer to really pursue your dreams, because you can, you know, again, it can happen anytime. You know, you don't know, there is no guarantee, even if you do all the right things, that things won't happen to you. So, you know, really think about what balance means to you, and it would be different for every individual, but don't be afraid of going for what you want. And that's the other thing. It's I've been actually lately doing a lot of that with coaching, which is really all the vibes you're putting out there in the world, you know, you'll end up getting what you're looking for. I believe in some shape or form. So if you keep being negative about things or saying, oh my gosh, I don't want this, I don't want that, unfortunately, it's still what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And so it's really the positive mindset and how you approach the world. And, you know, communication to me is also very key. It didn't come easy when I was young, but I've learned to really share my thoughts, my feelings, and make myself vulnerable. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of great work there. You know, Brené Brown and other that I'm really a fan of. But I realize that being vulnerable gives you so much power. And, you know, admitting your mistakes, admitting your faults, and it's okay, because we're all humans. None of us are, you know, perfect robots or whatever.
Absolutely.
And I reclaim so much power by just being so authentic in the world. And that's, I know it sounds like little lofty or whatever, but I can guarantee you that, you know, especially if you work with a coach, that's the kind of thing you can really get to. Mm-hmm. For me, it was a total change in mindset. I grew up in a very competitive kind of environment, you know, business environment. As a woman, you had to be a certain way to make it.
Yeah.
So, you know, feelings and things were not part of the program.
Yeah, no. Nope.
But actually now, I mean, I became such a better leader over the years by realizing, you know, all these other things. So I would say, you know, listeners who are really feeling like they want that change or they don't know where to start, just start somewhere, you know. And I mean, personally, I offer always free consultations. I'm very generous with my time. And I really encourage people that if they just even want to have an exploration or a fun conversation with me, I'm always available, because I know how much of a difference it can make in, you know, 30 minutes talking to someone.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really good advice. I was like taking notes like vigorously what you were talking. It's really good. And just to have that mindset is fantastic. And to be able to reflect your experience in your journey and in, I guess, outlook onto other people. And it's just kind of that ripple effect. And so, you know, one little drop in the water, it just goes out into the world, it goes out to other people, and it just continues to grow. And I think what you are you're teaching and sharing with people is huge, and you're going to continue to create that ripple effect. So how can we find you as far as your website or Instagram or anything like that for people to schedule a 30-minute consultation?
So, you know, my website, isabelbard.com, pretty easy. Okay. Also holisticstrat.com, but Isabel Bard may be the easiest.
Okay.
On Instagram at isaquamaid, which is isaquamaid. Uh-huh. And there are different links there to my Facebook profile or my website as well. I have some, you know, fun downloads and free consultation, because like I said, I'm happy to really get people going on a first step and, you know, see what works for them or not. But, you know, don't be shy and just take a step, right? And
absolutely.
That's where you need to start.
Yeah. First step's the hardest, but it's, you won't regret it. So I will make sure to include contact information in the episode notes for people to reach out to you. And we're kind of coming up on the hour. Is there anything else you'd like to share? Anything that we didn't cover that you would like to put in this podcast as well?
No, I thank you again for having me. I'm so happy to be able to share my story, and hopefully that would be helpful to the listeners. Reach out to me, and I'm happy to help Jess with anything else. And, you know, I have some fun stuff going with an organization, you know, that helps patients and survivors. And so I'm happy to use my time to do some of that volunteer work. And I think that's it. That was a great conversation. Thank you.
Absolutely. It was my pleasure having you on. And you know, like keep us up to date on what you're doing. As far as like different organizations, I would, you know, we're both in Southern California. I would love to be involved with whatever you're doing in the area. And, but yeah, it was an absolute pleasure speaking with you and getting to know you, your story, and then what you've done with the pandemic and cancer.
Thank you so much.
Thank you again, Isabel, for sharing your cancer story with my Cancer Story podcast. It was an absolute delight having you on. If you guys are interested in reaching out to Isabel, you can find her at her website, isabelbart.com or holisticlifecoaching.com. I will include the information in the episode notes, also her Instagram handle as well. Guys, I want to invite you to Clubhouse. I don't know if many of you are on it yet, but I'm starting a really fun project for my Cancer Story podcast. We're going to be hosting some Q&As for the interviewees that I've had on in the past, and then also maybe do some roundtables with a few of the cancer survivors that I've also had on the podcast as well. So if you do have Clubhouse, you can find me. Jess M. Nelson is my handle. If you do need an invite, I can absolutely send you an invite as well. But I'm really excited about this upcoming project coming out. So please enjoy the rest of your week and stay tuned for a brand new episode in 2 weeks. I am taking next week off. It's my husband's birthday, 40th birthday. So we are celebrating and doing a little trip together. So everyone have a wonderful next 2 weeks, and we will see you the final Monday in March.